That is, how many topics would you break down? Parshat Vayetze into.
Amen.
How many topics? How many nosim would you break down Parshat Vayetze into?
Four.
How's that?
One for Zuan, one for work for Leah, one for work for Rachel, one for Noah.
Shmuel recently came into Shir, so he's not. I hear what you're saying, but people who are here from the beginning of the year know that I always will insist on the breakdown of the parsha structurally, based on the way the Torah actually broke down the parsha, and that is the parshiot p'tuchot and stumot, what we call in English paragraphs, maybe it's a lack of any other term, and that's the way the Torah was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu, was revachim, with gaps for him to stop and to be mitbonen, which defines the text with the breakdowns as into the breakdown of topics. Okay, so if, that doesn't mean that you cannot take any piece, even if it's a parsha, like Sam did, and then break it down into sub-components, sub-pieces, absolutely. But we're trying in Shir to see the breakdown, the way Torah was given actually to Moshe Rabbeinu, and to learn from that structure, what does it reveal about the concept of Torah? Yes, Avi?
None.
What?
None.
None or?
One.
From the Yetze, Perek Afchet Pasuk Yud, right? We have here Parsha Stuma that begins and goes on and on and on all the way to the end of Parsha Vayetze. All of Parsha Vayetze is exactly one paragraph, one very long, one parsha, starting with the Parsha Stuma and finishing off as a Parsha Ptucha. So instead of none, one. Okay, so then, if there is one topic over here, that means, now this is very, very, very important, it had been broken down into further pieces, we wouldn't have been able to say it to the extent that we're going to say it right now, and that is, however long it may be, how many topics Shmuel or anybody may find here, really, this is all a buildup of one inyan from the very beginning and all the way to the end. How would you title that inyan? How would you title, what's the topic? The one topic underlying the entire parsha from the very beginning all the way to the very end. Ari? What? I would say the best title is the title that the Torah gave it. That is Vayetze. It's the parsha of the Yitzhak. The parsha of the Yitzhak, the leaving. Yaakov goes out, leaves Eretz Knan. In order, outside of Eretz Knan, outside of Eretz Yisrael, to create himself, to complete himself. He's not yet complete. He will be coming back into Eretz Yisrael complete. By the way, at what point? The Torah says it explicitly. In Parshat Vayishlach, the next parasha, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. When Yaakov comes back into Parshat Vayishlach, and he first comes into the city, the very complex city of Shechem that we'll be talking about next week, Bezrat Hashem, in great length. But he comes there as Shalem. Shalem B'Gufo, Shalem B'Mamono. Chazal go on and on about what that Shlemut is. Then Yaakov comes to his Shlemut. In order to attain that Shlemut, that completion, Yaakov needs to leave Eretz Yisrael, go out and create himself, or, like Ari said, create his family. Two different ways of presenting the same very thing. And that is, from the very beginning to the very end of the parasha, it's the parasha of Yitzi'ah, which is clearly, we said already yesterday, planting the seeds, Maaseh Yaakov, Siman Lebanim, who are going to be going out, Latzet Yitzi'ah Legalut. Vayetze for Yaakov is the Yitzi'ah Legalut of Yaakov, which we already saw yesterday, has two faces to it that don't contradict, rather, and somehow the way God rules his world, reasons and purposes, Sibot and Matarot, are somehow mysteriously intertwined. Somehow you can ask about the same very item, why? And then you can also see purpose in ways that you don't understand exactly how it comes about. At the end of the day, it doesn't really necessarily even matter. There may be causes and there may be purposes. back in the past and into the future that somehow end up working along together. In any case, Parshat Vayetze doesn't mention anything in terms of Yaakov running away from Esav. Parshat Vayetze is focusing on the purpose, on the tachlit, on the future in terms of who Yaakov ends up becoming and the process of becoming it and making the family that he's going to create. That's in the context of outside of Eretz Yisrael, Yetziah Vayetze, Yetziah LaGalut. If there's going to be, if you're going to ask, what is the prototype Galut in Sefer Bereshit for the history of his children? This is this parasha. So, however, and this is what we're going to be focusing on today, as he leaves Eretz Yisrael, an opening for that leaving, an opening for that entire long process of creating himself, accomplishing himself and his family, he needs to stop at a very significant station on the way out, and that's the way the parasha starts off, and that place is? That place is? Beit HaMikdash. How do we know that?
What?
So there are many hints over here. There's going to be the Shaar HaShemayim, the gateway to heaven. There's going to be Beit Ekel. And we'll see other psukim in a moment. But what Yaakov is mentioning is really what Chazal bring down. Rashi quotes it. Let's see it inside. It's a very significant concept, which we're not going to be elaborating on today. But for anybody who does think, it's an incredible concept to develop. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayifga b'makom. He meets the makom. Vayalen sham ki ba shemesh, Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom. Vayasim me'rashuta v'yishka b'makom ahu, b'makom ahu. It keeps going back to this makom. Pasuk Tetz Zayin, please skip ahead. Veikati Yaakov Mishutov Yomer, Achen Yesh Hashem B'Hamakom Hazeh. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Veikra Yomer, Manola HaMakom Hazeh. Pasuk Yud Tet, Veikra Yishem HaMakom Ha'u Beit Kel. This the Parsha starts off with an underlying theme of the Makom. Okay, now that's a very significant term. And how do we know, Yaakov, that HaMakom here is really Beit HaMikdash? The Avram Avinu, the first time we ever come to this place back in Parshat Vayera, Avram picks up his eyes, and on the third day, as he's going towards the Akedah, Vayar et Hamakom Merachok. He sees Hamakom, the place from far. The place is the place of the dwelling ultimately later on of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is actually one of the kinuim that we refer to God is Hamakom. Hamakom Yenachem Etchem. As we say to people who are in Avelut. And there are many expressions in Chazal. And there are many kinuim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's going to be a very interesting project for anybody to pick this up and do it. Whether he will reach conclusions or not, and that is to check. Well, today it's not so difficult to do that. But to check all the places in Chazal. It's not a psukim. It's not a Tanakh term. It's a Chazal term of kinuim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To check all the places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to in Chazal as HaMakom, and to try to really to see what is the actual common denominator, what is it about that kinui that comes out in all those places, which HaMakom Yenachem Etchem is one expression of that. Why do we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka in a context of Nichum Avelin as HaMakom? Many different shots given, I think most of them to me at least sound like vorts, but doesn't sound like the essential explanation. But there are other places also. It's a very, very, very interesting project to do. What is that?
Achinu.
What?
Makom Yachem
Nachon. Okay. In any case, so that's how we know. Vayaret Hamakom Yerachov by Avram Avinu. Vayifgava Makom over here is for Yaakov Avinu. Beit HaMikdash Hala Moriah as well. And that somehow means that he has to get to that place where it's going to be the ultimate destination of everything that he's going to be accomplishing. Before he starts off to go out and accomplish, he needs to first come to grips with and meet the place which ultimately is going to be the end product of that which he's going out to accomplish. Okay? On some level, however we understand that, you need to see the ultimate destination before you start the progression towards that. With all the content of that which he sees and the vision that he has in the place. Now, what it brings about, we are here at, how many times have we come already to this place? To the site of the future Beit HaMikdash in Sefer Bereshit? Well, we had Avram Avinu, Vayaret HaMakom Erechok. That's at the Akedah. What? Adam? That's in Chazal, it's true. Chazal actually say Adam nivra mimakom kaparto. Adam's dirt was actually taken from the place, from the dirt of Beit HaMikdash. He was created from the place of his kapara, from the place of the Mizbeach, which is on its own a concept to understand.
Wow.
What does it mean that he's created from the place of his kapara? But anyways, that's Chazal, psukim wise. The truth of the matter is, we need Chazal to explain those psukim also, but more direct, yeah.
The makom karbon
for what? Not as direct. Avram Avinu comes and sees the makom merachok. Yitzchak comes to the place as well. Chazal explains that, and more explains us where. But you'd say Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. When he goes out, when he meets Rivka, that's Yitzchak's coming to the place. And here we have the third of the avot. Let's put it formulated better. The three times that the avot, each in his own turn, comes to the place. Avram, vayarat makom merachok. Yitzchak, vayetzei Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. And this is Yaakov's time of coming to this place, to the makom, which clearly represents three different types of coming to that place, to the makom. Three different types of meeting with a place, which clearly reflect three different types of relationship with hamakom, as in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Prove to me, I mentioned in another shiur recently, that in fact, Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov have three different modes of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avi? Very good. It could have easily have said, it's a very significant point, with incredible implications for every individual Jew. It could have said, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Davening. It says, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Each one of those three stands with his own unique identity in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is going to manifest itself and come out in three types of standing in prayer, which are Shachrit, and Mincha, and Maariv. One to be metukan by Avram Avinu, by Yashkem Avram Baboker, one to be metukan by Yitzhak, and one to be metukan by, and that is Maariv, Arvit, and by Yaakov Avinu. Now that means, by the way, the depth of the significance over here is that for us, that we stand in davening three times a day, and somehow we refer to it, lahavdil, as Muslims, five times a day they have a chiyuv from their perspective to stand in prayer. So three times a day you're supposed to say the same davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the depth of its essence, that's mamash not true. It's superficial to look at it as such. If at Shachris you're standing like Avram Avinu, and at Mincha you're standing like Yitzchak, and at Maariv you're standing like Yaakov, that means that it's three different tefillot of three different essence, three different identities of standing, three different forms of standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it's hard, because in our day and age, and I often mention that, because of artificial light, we've really destroyed our relationship with nature in general in modern technology, but also our relationship with the changes of the day, of day and night, we've almost lost any kesher with. One can sit in a university library or even in a base medrash under the same fluorescent light and not at all live the changes of the day outside, and our body has been designed to work along with it. We know that our brain is designed to work along with sunlight. We have a biological clock that is influenced by the amount of light. Hence all the trouble with jet lag. But in any case, if one were to fully be able to define for himself, and I don't think that's not so far-fetched, what morning is about as a time in reality, what Erev is about as a time in reality, and what night is about as a time in reality, you would be able to come in touch with what does it mean to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at one segment of time, what does it mean to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mincha, and what does it mean to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a context of night, in a state of darkness. It's three different ways. Think for a moment that you're living completely in nature, no artificial lights. That means standing in Maariv, that means standing in complete darkness. That brings about a complete different mode. And your connection, and you're reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is coming from a whole different place in your soul. But we've, in so many ways, lost touch with the depth of things in our generation, especially over the generations of B'chlal, but especially in our generation, that everything, all time, seems as very homogenic and the same, and therefore boring. And davening is just something we do three times a day, and it's the same thing for the other issues I speak about in the cycle of the Yishur, that all year seems as the same, because whether we put on the air conditioning or we put on the heat, and we don't really experience the changing of the seasons. Especially as precious as the place of Zarova is, you don't really get to see the changes of the colors of the countryside or what's really happening in nature. We're living in a world, in a man-made world. We're not living in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world in the sense of that nature is carved and made and by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't really live the changes of time anymore, those of us who live urban life. So a lot of this stuff will sound flaky to us. And somebody who will talk along these lines in Yeshiva today will be considered like a weirdo, a breath lover that goes to meditate in the forests. It's not a terrible thing. What?
Weirdo, breath lover.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. Yeah.
Not there.
It doesn't have to go to that. Breslov at its origin, or like we experience in Tzvat, actually, that's really leftovers of Breslov that really has its core. But you have newcomers. No, just like in Chabad, Balei Tshuva, who seen the light for a year or two, and they know it all, and they're smarter than it all, and then they can go and give Musar to anybody who's been from ever since he was born, and they see the truth nobody else does. And they can destroy. They're destroying Chassidut Breslov, I think, and they're destroying Chassidut Chabad. Good old timer Chabad, they give added to all this nonsense with running around yelling Mashiach all day and putting on billboards that you can send a text to Mashiach and
nonsense like
that.
But they're always, these groups are always louder. And they dance on they dance on top of vans. And then so everybody thinks Breslov equates weird nach-nach-nach-manim, and that's not really a... Those of you, Shanebek guys, we were all together in the Breslov, incredible Bismarck of Breslov and Spaz, you don't get any of that. It's as down to earth as can be there. And that's because of the place of Lez is by a very incredible personality, Rabbi Koenig. Koenig. He recently came back from the States. Unfortunately, he was very sick, and he waited for 2 years, I think, in New York City for. If somebody wrote a pen, you'd have to leave the spot and go, that's real gullus in Manhattan for 2 years. But in any case, Rabil actually met him when he was there. But he waited for a lung transplant, and he has lungs now. A 17-year-old kid who's killed in a car accident. Anyways, he's healthy, and you see the person, he's a full-fledged Jew. And his chassidim, the whole base matters there, because all the Shem Shana Alav guys will see at the end of the year. It's impressive. One of the most intense tefillah that you can find in Eretz Yisrael today. But Ari's comment towards me was correct, and not to confuse it. And that's true also in the breast of Beis Medrash and Sharim. But the newcomers, both in Chabad and breast of, are totally destroyed. Instead of having the correct humility that I just came into the system, Baruch Hashem, I found the path to the truth. I have a long way to go yet. And I can be a little more humble, a little more quiet in terms of what I found. I don't have to go jump and influence the world. And a lot yet to go, and Avodat Hashem is a lifetime project, not something you accomplish in a year and a half. But people don't get these messages correctly, and they're a product of the fast food, fast everything society. So also Judaism and Yiddishkeit, God is fast. So within a year and a half, I accomplished it all, and then let me go spread the word of the Rebbe throughout the world. Anyways, how do we get to all this? Yeah, morning, evening, night. Yitzhak, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, three different forms of standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm mentioning all this because this is an avoda, internal avoda for a person who really wants to make his davening more and more of a meaningful experience. Avoda, I don't like the term experience. A meaningful avoda. The Gemara says that the Chassidim HaRishonim would wait and they would meditate for an hour before they would start davening, and they would daven for an hour. They would, coming down from the heights they reached internally, they would take them another hour. Okay, so fine, we're very far away from those modes of awareness, but at least to be mishtadel, to aspire, to deepen davening into a place which is a higher place than the mumbling that takes place in shuls, that especially in Chutzaris, but also here in Israel, many places. Anyways, this is with all practical implications, I'm mentioning all this. Anyways, let's go back to our parsha. So the way in which Yaakov comes to meet the place, to find the place, Hamakom, is a night meeting. And in fact, his vision And his understanding of what the place is about takes place in the context of sleep, in the context of sleeping, lying down on Eretz Yisrael. And of course, the lying down over here is very, very significant, because the Pesukim over here, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, look inside, please, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav. He has this vision, Pasuk Yud Bet. V'yachalom. He lies down, v'yishkav b'makom ahom. Sorry for taking you constantly backwards, Pasuk Yud Bet. V'yifgav b'makom ha'om, v'yalem sham kibah shemesh, v'yikach me'avnei ha'makom, v'yasem l'rashutav. He takes the different stones and he puts them under his head. Talk about this already on Sunday. V'yishkav b'makom ahom. He lies down in the makom. His connection to that place is unlike what Avraham Avinu, who walked to the place. Here, he's supposed to lie down in the place. V'yachalom, and he has a vision. He sees a vision. In the content of the vision, he sees a ladder. And Malachi Elokim olim v'yordim bo. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav v'yomar, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha v'Elokei Yitzchak, Haaretz asher ata shochev alea lecha etnenu lezarecha. Hashem is not just clearly mentioning the land that you're lying on will be your descendants, and just in order to give him an indication of which land, the land you're lying on as opposed to another one. Rather, there's something essential about Dafka Yaakov needing to lie down on this earth to somehow create the possibility for that which Hashem is telling him, this land will be given to your descendants. I'm posing this as a question. I'm not even sure. I don't have a shot at this. What does it mean to have to lie on the ground in order to create the potential for this connection? By Avram, we don't find it. By Yitzhak, we don't find it. By Yaakov, there's a need to lie here. To lie, and then there's another layer to that, and that is to actually sleep. What's the meaning? What's the significance? I've wondered about this for years already. I don't have a shot at this. What does it mean that you have to sleep in a place? There. Please stand. I can't have you sitting down.
So it says later, it says,
yeah.
So maybe something about lying and seemingly sleeping, you get things that you didn't necessarily realize during the day, like conscious, but internally. So maybe like sleeping and lying down the voice, like lying maybe symbolizes a certain, like, I don't know if he knew it was the base of English, maybe when he lied down there, like, I'm not a person, but like he didn't realize what the place was.
I agree that this is one of the most significant dreams of Sefer Bereshit, and there are going to be more very significant ones later on. And in the context of sleep, in the context of dreaming, information can come in that not necessarily daily consciousness is able to bring in, nachon. But I think that's one, on one level. But that's in terms of explaining the sleep aspect. But in terms of the lying down, physical connection to the ground. Now the truth of the matter is, having to sleep dafka at that place is going to actually have its halachic manifestation for Klal Yisrael. In what form? Where do we find a halachic chiyuv to actually have to sleep in Yerushalayim? Nachon. Shalosh Regalim. We learned from Pesach, from Pesukim, Parshat Re'eh. The pasuk there is the Uvekamta Bavoke Upanita Le'oholecha, if I remember the pasuk correctly. And in the morning, after having done Korban Pesach, the day after Motzei Chag Rishon, after having done Korban Pesach and staying and sleeping through the night, then the next day, first day Chol HaMoed, you can go back home. Upanita Le'oholecha. We learn from this that there's a chiyuv of lina. The same term we use over here, Vayalin Sham. The chiyuv for lina in Yerushalayim. In my mind, at least, it completely goes back here. Same question we're asking here, the same question I would ask there. What's the inyan of having to go? It's not just you are coming up to the Gimel Regalim, like Avram Avinu, who walks up, and yet therefore with your legs, Gimel Regalim, come up to Beit HaMikdash, to be seen, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what Avram Avinu defines the place as, the Har Hashem Yireh, but you also have to actually sleep there, like Yaakov Avinu. One more point, that is, whatever the explanation is, we'll have to, I think, to a degree at least, to explain what the term lina specifically means. We have tardema, we have sheina, different terms for describing sleep, and whatever our explanation will be has to do specifically with what lina aspect of sleep is about. And from that term we find bet malon, right? Modern term for a hotel, a place where you are lan, where you sleep. Balun, Lina, Mazen. Yes, Avi, what do you want to say?
Perhaps when someone passes away, you lay them into the ground, a lot of them into the ground, which is kind of like returning them back to their origin.
Yeah.
And when someone's sleeping.
At least their body back to their origin.
Yeah, their body back to the origin. And when you sleep, your neshama goes back to the origin and then comes back down. So here, theoretically, I mean, we could say maybe that when he's going to sleep by lying down on the ground, the origin, and when he goes to sleep and his neshama goes back to Hashem, and then when he wakes up, it's kind of this whole like born again experience, which enables him to continue on in his journey as a new Yaakov.
I'm thinking that's so I think la'aniyut da'ati, I think what Avi is saying is very, very, very good, and I think it's a good opening for what I'm going to want to go into, which I was planning anyways, but I think it gives an extra clarity on the union. I appreciate that, Avi. Yes, sorry. We're going to go into it in a few minutes, and maybe we'll definitely continue the Yonim on Sunday. But I think it's a very, 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 very important opening for the discussion. Yeah.
Is the Chiyuv Lina just Pesach?
If I remember correctly, we learn it from the Pesukim in Pesach, but if we learn from that to all Gimel Regalim. I may be wrong to the best of my remembering, which is
even,
a terrible
even
memory.
Even if we'll say that Shalosh Regalim would be Shalosh Sets of Regalim that all went like you have to go three times. And then the third set could be like that, but we slept.
You're saying that's clearly brought down. I think the Torah brings it down, that the Gimel Regalim, three times a year, coming up to Beit HaMikdash, corresponds to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'chlau, one can suspect, and one has every room to suspect that all, just like all sevens in Torah correspond, all threes correspond. And sort of, Kubalim clearly, definitely talk about it. Anyway, and then the question usually is how to break down the relationship, but the Torah talks about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I think it's Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And what it means is, according to this, that you don't just come three times a year. You come more with an Avram orientation on Pesach, with a Yitzchak, if that's the correct matching, and Shavuot, and with a Yaakov orientation on Sukkot. But then, if we want to claim it, it will only be then. So I think, if I remember correctly, the Chiyuv Lina is by all three. As an Lobatuach. Yes, go.
Back to the whole Exeter thing. Dreams are like vehicles for like Hashem speaking to us in the Ruach. So maybe like the fact that he's sitting on the floor makes like we're making a catch between like Shemaim and like the Aretz. And like it's also like exactly the dream, the ladder is going from Shemaim.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Avi began something which Dov is continuing, which is really what I want to start getting into. And that's very, very, very significant and very, I think, very deep points, which really necessitates for us to start going into the actual content of the vision of Yaakov. And let's actually start doing that. The way, based on what we're saying till now, and it's partial that it has to be there, the way in which Avram, and then Yitzchak, and then in his turn Yaakov, are going to be experiencing the place, of course, is completely correlated with and a reflection of who they are uniquely, specifically. Basically alluded to it before. Meaning, to say it in other terms, the vision that Yaakov has in the place, the clarity that he has about the essence of the place, will reflect clarity that we'll have now as to the essence of who he is. You can't separate the two things. If in fact his meeting point and his perspective of the place coming through in the vision and the dream is correlated, which it has to be, with his unique identity, so the content that he gets as to what's the essence of this place, of Beit HaMikdash, can be viewed at the same time as a revelation as to who he really is, which is necessary and crucial as an opening to sending him out to go out and accomplish himself. Now, that's Pashut, that the vision here is an eye-opener for Yaakov as to what is the nature of this place. That's what happens when he wakes up. We saw those, so let's see more elaborated inside. Pasuk Tetzayin, look inside this. Pasuk Tetzayin, Josh. Ve'yitkatz Yaakov Mishnato, ויקץ יעקב משנתו, יעקב wakes up from the sleep, ויאמר, אכן יש השם במקום הזה, this is when the awareness starts kicking in. ואנוכי לא ידעתי. When I came, I didn't know, יש השם במקום הזה. ויירא ויאמר, מה נורא המקום הזה? אין זה כי אם בית אלוקים, וזה שער השמיים. This brings about, the vision brings about his understanding, an eye-opener as what is the nature of this place, and what's the essence of this place.
He calls it a bayit.
And he calls it a bayit, which the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim makes a point of what Natan just said, because the truth of the matter is, says the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov name and refer and relate to the place with three different terms, which clearly bring out the three different unique relationships with the place. Avram refers to the place as?
Yireh.
Hashem, look inside the precise, the parasha of Vayera, at the end, in Akedah, chapter 22. It's true that it's deeply associated with vision, but, Perek Kaf Bet, Pasuk Yudaled, chapter 22, Pasuk 14. Vayikra Avram Shema Makom Ahu Hashem Yireh, Asher Ya'amer Hayom, Behar Hashem Yireh. Ha Hashem Yireh. Vision is a component of it, but the mountain where Kadosh Baruch Hu will see and will be seen. Anyways, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim says Avram Avinu refers to Beit HaMikdash as a har. Avraham Kra'o Har is the Lashon of the Gemara. Avraham Kra'o referred to it, named it a har. Yitzchak Kra'o Sadeh. Vayitzei Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. Okay? Sadeh. And Yaakov, as Nathan pointed out, these psukim we just saw, Ka'ov Bayit. And this is more food for thought. What is the relationship between mountain, field, house? Is there a progression over here that is culminating itself with the house vision of Yaakov of this place? Shmo, what do you want to say?
Yitzchak didn't call it.
It's true. The Gemara refers to it, though, that he does. Nachon. Avram names and Yaakov names in Yitzchak, does not name, and somehow the Gemara understands it as still that he does, even though the Pesukim don't say that. That is true. Yes, Ali.
Each way that they call it, it's just how they correspond, just how they use the mountain. Avram used the mountain to go up and to do the Kedah. Yitzchak was in the field when Rivka came, so it was called Sadeh. And it's just like not like deep. And like Yaakov, he slept there, so wherever he slept.
That's exactly what Chazal role is in history, is to come to you to come to realize that things which are presented in Torah are not random, and that they're not stam. But the fact that they evolved that way is reflection of who they are and why they refer to the places as such. Or why, if you wish, to use a more New Agey concept, which I don't like using, why they experienced the place as such. Okay? I don't like that term because Judaism is not about an experience. That's a big ear opener for many people. Confuses it with all kind of new other agey spiritual experiences. Judaism is not a spiritual experience. You can get into a spiritual experience by putting all kind of things into your blood, and you can get into a spiritual experience by going to a Pink Floyd concert. You can get into a spiritual experience by going to the Kotel Friday night and getting into Carlo Bach Minyan. Okay? What they all have in common is that you're very much wrapped up in yourself and your pleasures. And it can even take place on an Onik Shabbat and Yeshiva and a Shabbat Chovah. And it's a very, one needs to go deep inside and to examine what really is taking place. And at the end of the day, as opposed to all kind of New Agey spiritual searchers, we're not here for the spiritual experience. We're here as Ovdei Hashem. There's a job that has to be done, and nobody asks us whether we want it to be created or not. Al Kochacha Ta Notzav, Ve'al Kochacha Ta Met, Ve'al Kochacha Ata Yitzin Din Lechashbon Lifnei Melech Notzav, Ve'osh Baruchum. We were created, nobody asked us to do a job in this world. That's Avodat Hashem Barui. We go out in the morning, hopefully we get out of bed in the morning early enough, and it's one long day of Avodah. We have a job to do. What's the content of that job? There's a lot to be said about it. To put it in a nutshell, I think underlying all of Jewish sources is the Avodah is for Jews as opposed to non-Jews specifically, to play their role in bringing the world to Tikkun. I created you humans, specifically you Jews, to perfect my world. And that's what you were here for. As a byproduct, you may gain pleasure from it, but ultimately that's a whole other level. That's true. And it can end up being a deep spiritual experience. But that's a byproduct. The motivation at the end of the day is a chiyuv. You come into the world as a bar chiyuv. This it's extremely important to emphasize in our day and age where Judaism is turning into many places, though Karla Bachminyanim into Jewish experiences. I'm not against the Karla Bachminyan. I love the music. It's one of the only honest, true Jewish music that ever came out, as opposed to kind of Jewish rock, just false music in my perspective. But at the same time, you can take Jewish music and turn it into an avoda, and you can take Jewish music and turn it into an experience. And that's a lot to reflect upon. But the Kol Mikre, back to our topic, and that's, I'd like to develop what Avi was talking about and what Dov was speaking about, and that is the actual content of the vision. We're starting to run out of time, and we have to continue the Yonim on Sunday, but I would like to use the next 4 or 5 minutes to please start the discussion. Okay, we're starting to pour content into what does it mean that Yaakov sees the place as a bayit, as opposed to sadeh, as opposed to a har, to go start pouring meaning into it. And the vision in itself pours content and meaning into it. And what Yaakov sees and perceives the place as the slum. Mutzav Arsa, by the way, Mechubalim point out that it's the Gematria of Sinai. Something to try to understand what it means. Sulam Mutzav Arsa. Aretz Derosho Magiya Shamayim. Be'inei Hashem Nitzav Alav. The Malachi Elohim Olim, or Yodim Ve'olim Bo. This is the way in which Yaakov Avinu perceives the place. And that calls for a lot of attempts to understand what is he seeing over here? Why does Yaakov have to see the place as such? What is this content about? And it's crucial because we are talking about Beit HaMikdash, as I mentioned already here before, the focal point of the entire world. Focal point of the universe. We've said already before the Gemara Masechet. Where was that? The Mishnah Masechet. Midot. Kelim.
Kelim.
Talking about the different levels of Ketusha, of space, of the world. 10 different levels of space. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Ha'amim, with Tum'at Eretz Ha'amim Midi Rabbanan that it has, and then we have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha of Yerushalayim, Kedusha of Har HaBayit, Kedusha of the Hazarot, Kedusha of the Kodesh, until we get to the Kodesh HaKodashim itself. The focal point, the place from which the world erupted from. If you wish, the place where the Big Bang came from. Eben HaShtiyah. Eben HaShtiyah, says the Gemara, that's the stone, cornerstone of the world, shemimena hushtat olam, the foundation, the yesod for the entire world, goes back there. That's where the world launched itself off from, and that's where the world keeps receiving its life from. I was once walking back where I used to live in Shari Chesed, Machlok Keren Kayemet, where the offices of the Keren Kayemet are. And I remember they used to have, they don't have today, but they have this big sign that says, Mikan Hakol Tzomeh, that was like their line, their slogan. It's from here that everything grows. And I thought, wow, that's a great line for Beit HaMikdash. Because Chazal actually referred to Beit HaMikdash as the origin and the source of all growth in the world. So much so that Gemara says, it's hard for us to think about it in our Western scientific terms, how to relate it, but Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech had the wisdom, being that he saw reality transparent in front of him, he knew the pathways, the channels, the somehow the meridians from of energy or of life coming from Beit HaMikdash for every single species of plants in the world. So he knew to plant on those channels different plants, which usually would grow in other places in the world, but he knew the place where it passes through Eretz Yisrael, and he would be able to pick up on that unique growth element. Anyways, that's the place where everything grows. And a new, mentioned already recently, a new year of life necessitates going into the spring of life, into Kodesh HaKodashim, once a year only, to open up gates for new life for a year. Now, clearly then, if the place which is the focal point of the world is presented as this ladder that is connecting, or that it's extending from Aretz to Shamayim, or Shamayim to Aretz, and it's the focal point of the entire Bria, but the Bria in the first place was presented as Bereishit Bara Elohim et HaShamayim et HaAretz. The world is formed in a structure of Shamayim versus Aretz. That's the way the world is made. It's made in this state of duality. Shamayim versus Aretz. And somehow, the focal point of this entire Bria is going to be viewed by Yaakov Avinu as a ladder between this Shamayim and this Aretz of Malachi Elokim, Olim, the Yordim, Bo. So, what does Shamayim mean? What does Aretz mean? And how we understand it? We will go into the Baruch Hashem on Sunday. We'll meet then. And if you did not, please complete Parsha Vayetzeh.